Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
The intrinsic focus of the Bible is not about modifying our behavior. It's about transforming us gradually into the image of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says it. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding and reflecting like a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as from the Lord's Spirit. Francis Ball has joined us today for a fellowship I've looked forward to for some time. This verse, 2 Corinthians 3:18, is more than tremendous. I don't know if I have a right adjective to describe it, Francis.
Well, I think this is quite a study between transformation and reformation.
Yes.
The copper or the brass could be compared to reforming the human behavior, but transformation means another life has come in to transform us.
One of the things we're going to see today in the program is this matter of how this word has been translated, even in some very good versions of the Bible. But Witness Lee is going to point out here, I'll give a little giveaway, I guess, of the first portion, that there's really not an exact equal in English to the Greek word here, which has the base, at least, of metamorphosis, where we get this biological change that takes place, and metabolism also comes from a similar root word. And many of the translations render this word changed in some instances, and sometimes they use transformed. But we're going to see today there's a very striking, important difference, isn't there?
Yes, there is quite a difference between these two concepts.
Let's look at this verse that we read a moment ago and put it in its context now in 3:18. Actually, we'd like to go back to verse 17 and start there. And the Lord, it says, is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Then, verse 18 that we read, but we all with unveiled face, beholding and reflecting like a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed, and here's that word, into the same image, from glory to glory, even as from the Lord's Spirit. And Francis, it's interesting that it says transformed into the same image, not into something that looks like something, right?
Right. It's not just a matter of comparison or a certain kind of attainment, but it's an added in.
I believe the King James Version uses the word changed in 2 Corinthians 3:18, though it does render this word transformed in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, which is another place where the same word is used. And here it says, and do not be fashioned according to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove what the will of God is. So this word transformation implies very strongly, doesn't it, Francis, that there is the addition of a new element that's part of the process.
Yes, that's right. It really is an introduction of a new element that makes the difference here, not just a changing in its outward appearance.
Well, let's join Witness Lee. We'll have a chance to fellowship very thoroughly on 2 Corinthians 3:18. It's really our focus for the whole program today.
These apostles, they don't teach doctrine. They shine Christ. They shine Christ, who is the life-giving Spirit, imparting the triune God into our being.
Amen.
Oh, such a shine.
Amen.
Well, they are so, they are being transformed.
Amen.
Daily,
amen.
Hourly, they are being transformed in the image of the glorified Christ.
Amen.
And this is not a matter one for all. This is a daily, gradual matter. So, they are being transformed from one degree of glory to another degree of glory.
Amen.
From glory to glory.
Amen.
Transformation is a borrowed word. It doesn't convey the full meaning of the Greek word. I'm a little concerned. You don't realize transformed is very different from changed. Why I say this? Because a number of versions in English, I think even King James here, being changed. What is the difference between changed and transformed? Being transformed is something very much related to metabolism. It is a change, but it is not a mere change. Metabolism includes three things: the supply or the adding in of the new element. Number two, the replacing of the old element. And number three, the carry away of the discharge that something new might come out. This is metabolism. When we eat food into our stomach, then digestion and assimilation will work out a kind of metabolism. By this we grow. By this we got strengthened. By this many, many times we've been healed. You know, every day, every hour, within our physical being, there is healing going on. Every day, metabolism does a lot of healing. Transformation is spiritual metabolism.
Francis, let's come back to this significant, important difference between the word change and this metabolic change, this transformation that's being spoken of in 2 Corinthians and Romans chapter 12, as we read a moment ago.
Well, this is a big difference in different Christians' understanding of this kind of thing that's transpiring in our being. It's much like petrifying wood. You know, if a log falls into a river and remains there for a long time, there's a certain action that goes on. The water flowing over the log brings in certain minerals, and it just keeps adding these minerals, and at the same time, it flows out other minerals that are just part of the old dead log. But this flowing in and flowing out makes that piece of wood become something different. Actually, it becomes so solid that it's just like rock. A petrified piece of wood is a stone that has been changed by this flowing of the minerals in and out. It makes a different substance, actually. Now it becomes something else. By the flowing of the minerals in and the flowing of other matters out, then there is this change of the actual content and the being, the weight and everything is changed, but it still looks the same. The appearance of the wood is still there, but the actual thing itself is now stone instead of wood.
That's a really good illustration. You know, he mentioned that this word implies these three things: the addition of a new element, which you surely see, as you said, in this analogy to petrification. A new element is added, then something old is replaced, and further, it's even carried away, which is clearly depicted, isn't it, by this process of petrification that you used.
That's right.
Francis, you know, if we were going to take this piece of wood and somehow, oh, I don't know, plaster Paris or some sort of coating that would make it look somewhat like a rock, but yet its nature would still be very woody and very organic, that would be, I guess, more analogous to the kinds of behavioral changes that Confucius and many other great philosophies and world religions have. This is the outcome. There is an outward change, but the nature really hasn't changed. The substance hasn't changed.
That makes a tremendous difference between what the Bible presents and what philosophy presents or psychology presents. To try to improve a person's behavior doesn't change their being, but this kind of metabolic change really changes their being. Something divine has come into a person's spirit when he gets regenerated, and that divine element then begins to saturate the other parts of his being so that he becomes a different person inwardly.
Right.
And, of course, outwardly it's expressed.
Yeah, there will be the behavioral change as a result, as a consequence of what's taken place within.
Mm-hmm.
But the focus is on the inward.
Yeah. If you don't change the inward, you still have just an appearance of a difference, which is not really a difference.
Yeah. Wow, wonderful topic, and I love this verse 18.
Yeah.
We're going to focus on another short phrase that's embedded in this verse, in this coming portion. And that is this phrase, from glory to glory.
Mm-hmm.
So transformation, it says, into the same image from glory to glory. I think this phrase has probably puzzled many readers of the Bible, and I think we have a good opportunity to get some light on what that is implying. Here's Witness Lee once more.
Now, what is the supply of the new element in Paul's thought? The new element is just the glory of the Lord.
Amen.
The glory of the Lord is just the resurrected Christ.
Amen.
And the resurrected Christ is so rich. Just this word transform implies the rich, unsearchable supply of Christ.
Amen.
We receive this supply.
Amen.
Then this supply replaces all our junk.
Amen.
Paul realized with all of us, even with himself, a lot of junk could be replaced and could be discharged.
Amen.
Then something new will be brought forth. New cells, new tissues, new blood will be produced.
Amen.
I tell you, don't think this is my guess. No, no, no. I'm pretty sure this was Paul's thought. What is from glory to glory? What is this? That is from the Lord's Spirit to the Lord's Spirit. The Lord's Spirit has the rich supply. Is added
Amen.
Into your being. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, day by day, hour after hour, oh, Christ is being added into us,
Amen.
And we are being transformed from the Lord's Spirit to the Lord's Spirit.
Amen.
And this is what it means from glory to glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Our today's supply, hour after hour, it is glory.
Amen.
Christ blossoming. Christ resurrected. This is the glory. And this glory is our daily supply. Isn't this wonderful?
Francis, he pointed out in the previous segment that transformation implies something is being added, something is being discharged and washed away. We really had a good presentation here of this new element that's being added, didn't we?
Mm-hmm. All the riches that are in that all-inclusive spirit that now is in the believer's spirit, it's just too marvelous that all these riches are the rich supply to our being, and it washes away the old things, the self, the natural things, so that another element is added into our being.
Talk about this progression that he alluded to, from glory to glory.
When we get regenerated, we get a glory in our spirit that is really has made us a different person, because before we just had a deadened spirit from the fall, but when Christ comes in, he enlivens our spirit. If Christ is in you, your spirit is alive. And Romans chapter 8 really makes that clear in no uncertain terms. And then it goes on to show how this glory in our spirit is now spreading to the other parts of our being by the supply that's coming in. It's spreading into our mind, emotion, will.
Mm-hmm.
Our whole being becomes from glory to glory, from the glory of the Spirit of God in our spirit, and then from that glory in this mingled spirit to the other parts of our whole being, so that our mind, emotion, and will receive that glory. And the Bible even teaches that if you have Christ in you, your mind is life. If you take Christ as your life, your mind becomes life. And if this Christ is in you as the resurrected one, that is the Spirit, Christ as the Spirit is in you, then even your mortal body will receive life.
You know, that thought is very much conveyed. We read a moment ago Romans 12:2, the other classic verse in the New Testament on this matter of transformation, which says, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. As you just said that, it reminded me, this really is talking about this additional element, the element of the riches of Christ as the Spirit even gets added to our mind. And this is the kind of renewing that we need, not just a lot of new knowledge and new information.
Oh my, yes, that's really true, because we do need this renewing process going on. Our mind is still part of the old creation, but this glory in our spirit goes on from glory to glory and even renews our mind so that the glory even fills our mind and the other parts of our inner being.
So gradually, bit by bit, we are being transformed into this image, one step at a time, one level at a time.
That's right. And it's glory to glory, even as from the Lord's Spirit to the Lord's Spirit.
Wow. I think we'll touch that a bit in this last segment. Why don't we go back to Witness Lee?
Our transformed being is far, far better than the improved behavior by religious teaching. Confucius, he taught a lot concerning human ethics. I must tell you, what the Bible reveals is gold. What Confucius teaches is copper. Copper is very close to gold. This is why some of the missionaries who went to China, I heard them saying that what the Bible teaches is exactly the same as Confucius' books. And so, why we need the Bible? But hallelujah!
Amen.
There's the gold!
Amen.
I like to fill up all my pocket everywhere with gold. Forget about copper!
Amen.
What are we doing here? We are replacing your copper with gold! Then what shall you do? You need desperately going to the Lord. Lord, now I got the revelation. I see what's me. The best me is just poor copper. Now, Lord, I see that you are the gold. Lord, you be my submission.
Amen.
Lord, you be my love to my brother.
Amen.
Lord, you come in to replace me. All the day long, I would say, oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Learn to practice this.
Amen.
Bit by bit, you will get into the experience. Then one day, you will realize your behaving is not by yourself. Your behaving is just the resurrected Christ.
Amen.
That is glory. Amen. Even the more, the glory is just the life-giving spirit.
Amen.
The more I live, I walk in this life-giving spirit, the more glory is added into my being.
Amen.
So I'm here from glory to glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Francis, as we were fellowshipping before about this illustration of transformation being the addition and the replacement and the washing away of another element, probably our natural thought is that, yeah, that's right, I have a lot of faults and a lot of things in my character that I am not very satisfied with, and I'm sure God doesn't like. But that's not what we're saying here. That's not what he's saying. As I liked what he said, our very best, the best we can be, is copper.
Mm-hmm.
And it's even more important to have the copper washed away and replaced with the gold, isn't it?
Right. That's the deception, because we think that copper is gold when we're not so acquainted with the difference. But now that we see that God himself is the gold, we realize this is what we want. We want the gold. And the gold is what will shine out, and the gold is what will bring us on from glory to glory. So we don't need to try to substitute it with copper or brass, but we need to have the gold wrought into our being so that we can be the shining ones with the pure gold. The real expression of the gold will be there, and all the copper, besides all those other things you mentioned, they will be washed away.
He talked about a practice here, a kind of a daily way of living. Pick that point up, if you would, in the minute or so that we've got left.
Yeah, if we don't practice this, coming to the Lord and just opening ourselves to him for him to soak us and to shine in us with this gold material, which is God himself, we will just keep on trying to improve our behavior, but we'll just end up with copper colors. But we like to have the shining out of the gold. We'd like to put gold, like he said, put gold in all our pockets and go everywhere just spreading the gold. And this is really what he's talking about in the Bible. Paul himself is saying, from glory to glory.
Right.
This is the glory that's being spread through our being. And this comes out in an evident way. The things that we tried to do were just adding copper color to us. But what this does, this changes us inwardly, discharges all these self-attempts to try to be better, and makes a person come out that's just like the Lord Jesus.
Amen. I was impressed as he was somewhat speaking this little prayer, Lord, you be my submission, rather than Lord, give me submission or give me patience. Lord, you become my patience and whatever I need, be that to me. That is the gold. That's not
That's
the
right.
copper.
That's the reason Paul said, for to me to live is
Christ.
In all these aspects of virtues and so on, what we need to do is just live Christ. And for this, we have to go to him. Say, Lord, I want you to be living in me in all these aspects.
Francis, this is, I would say, one of the key passages in the New Testament, helping us to understand this thing we often refer to as God's economy. This verse, these verses really in 2 Corinthians 3 are key, aren't they, in getting a kind of a vision, a revelation that changes the way we approach the Bible, that we approach the Lord and come to the Lord and we approach our daily life. Francis, thank you for your help today.
Thank you.
For Francis Ball today, I'm Chris Wilde.